KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
More of your top local and regional news coming up after this update from ABC. Thanks for joining us on this Friday morning. KOMO News time now, 9 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaking out for the first time since the House impeached President Trump on a charge of inciting insurrection in last week's U.S. Capitol siege.
I find this to be a very emotional time. I said to the members, we're very passionate to our reaction to this assault on our democracy, on this temple to democracy.
She also thanked law enforcement for helping save lives that day. Some of the D.C. police officers who responded to the deadly attack are now speaking out about what they endured. Here's ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Officer Michael Fanon, a father of four, was grabbed by the crowd as he pled with them, telling them he had kids.
I remember guys chanting, like, kill him with his own gun.
Fanon's partner eventually helping to free him and get him to safety. But he suffered a mild heart attack and spent 2 days hospitalized. One of the nearly 60 D.C. police officers who were injured in the siege.
Security in and around the Capitol and Washington, D.C. is unprecedented ahead of the inauguration. American troops protecting against threats from Americans. At the same time, federal authorities are making more arrests and charges, with one suspect now making a plea for a pardon.
His lawyer said Jacob Chansley did not break into the Capitol while wearing fur pelts and horns. The attorney said his client hitched his wagon to President Trump and felt like he was answering the call of our president. Federal prosecutors said Chansley was among the rioters who intended to capture and assassinate elected officials. He allegedly left a note at Vice President Pence's desk in the Senate that read, "It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming." His lawyer said Chansley listened to President Trump and now deserves a pardon.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. President-elect Joe Biden detailed his remedy for the pandemic from vaccines to economic relief last night. It's a nearly $2 trillion plan that includes more direct payments to Americans. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
And good morning to you. Welcome to a Friday, 9:02, 45 degrees and clouds in downtown Seattle with a few areas of clearing. I'm Tom Huntler with our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. COVID-19 cases continue to swell here in Washington. So does the demand for the vaccine, as we hear from KOMO's Brian Calvert.
The State Health Department reported another 2,729 new COVID cases yesterday and 38 new deaths. The virus continues to spread, and it's fueling a desire to get the vaccine. And that's causing another issue. People waited all day yesterday for the vaccine at a drive-up site in Squim, even though the last car was allowed in line before 7 a.m., meaning many of those had waited overnight for a chance to get the injection. Some fear it's a sign of things to come, and state officials worry that phases of those who can be vaccinated are advancing far faster than the pace of opening injection sites. For example, Skagit County plans to move to the next phase of vaccination January 26th. That phase will allow many more people to qualify, and at this point, the county isn't certain it will have the doses to satisfy demand. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
No COVID test, no key card. Our partners at KXOY in Spokane report that's the rule for students returning to campus for the start of the semester next week at Washington State University.
The university hopes to avoid a COVID outbreak like they had in Pullman last fall. And with far more students returning to campus housing and a lot more in-person classes this semester, a COVID test will be required. For those living on campus, they can't get their key card until they've done that. Phil Weiler is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Wazoo.
What we learned in the fall semester is that there was no transmission that we're aware of between students living in residence halls.
University's already tested about 3,000 students this month, including Fidel Ramos, who graduates in May.
I do feel pretty safe. You know, I haven't really seen people not wearing their masks or anything like that, and I feel like people are taking this seriously.
They're, of course, urging them not to go to parties where the masks tend to come off and social distancing disappears, which can lead to big outbreaks like they had last fall. Carlene Johnson, KOMO News.
Middle and high school students in Kennewick just days away from heading back to in-person classes. Dr. Amy Pearson with the Benton Franklin Health District.
Even in communities with high disease activity, children can be returned to schools when schools have implemented the appropriate safety and infection control measures.
The Tri-City Herald reports the Kennewick School Board has approved a plan to bring back middle school students by January 25th and high school students a week later. Straight ahead.
Will a Seattle judge force Amazon to restore Parler? I'm Corwin Hake. Social media site gets its day in court.
KOMO News Time 9:04. Traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s. And from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, good morning to Kiara Jordan.
Good morning, Tom. We don't have any current blocking crashes or stalls. A lot of our commutes are able to move along at the speed limit at this point. But one area that's really struggling is trying to travel westbound on Spokane Street between I-5 and 99. A very big lineup of semis trying to get onto Harbor Island this morning is the culprit. And then northbound I-5 getting caught up in this. And so you're backing up as you're approaching the West Seattle Bridge. You'll also work with slowing approaching I-90. That'll stay with you as you head under the convention center. Northbound 167 off and on slowing from Highway 410. Toward Jovita, northbound 405 with a busy drive, pulling away from Talbot, working your way toward about Northeast 30th. Our next Como traffic out, 914.
And let's check that forecast. Here's meteorologist Kristen Clark.
After morning light rain showers, trending drier for the rest of today, the exception being central Puget Sound, likely to hold on to those rain clouds for a little bit longer into the afternoon. We'll see a dry day, though, tomorrow, followed by an increase in the clouds and light showers that are set to return Saturday night. Those will end very early Sunday morning, and we should get in on a little bit of sun to finish off the weekend Sunday afternoon. A dry Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, followed by a cool down later next week, maybe enough to support a rain snow mix in some of our foothill locations Wednesday night. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
46, mostly cloudy downtown, 9:06, and 20 minutes of nonstop news continues now. A woman is on the run after she jumped from a car moments before it crashed into a home in Federal Way yesterday.
It was around 5 p.m. when officers were called to the home near South 277th Place and 21st Place South. Witnesses told officers it looked like the car began rolling down a hill. The woman driving it managed to roll out of it just before it hit a garage, badly damaging it. She took off. No one in the home was hurt.
Como's Frank Lindsay, a substitute teacher at Seattle's Catherine Blaine K-8 school in Magnolia, is under investigation for allegedly exposing himself during an online class earlier this week. An email from the principal said in part some students and parents reported seeing one of our substitute teachers on camera in his home, and what was seen caused enough concern for the district to open an investigation. The Seattle Times reports the man is in his 50s or 60s and was not teaching the class at the time, but was participating via Microsoft Teams. Seattle police are involved in addition to the school's investigation. Parler, the social media site favored by the far right, is asking a federal judge in Seattle for an emergency order to force Amazon to restore the site to its powerful cloud servers. We get the update from Como's Corwin Hake.
At a Thursday hearing, U.S. District Judge Barbara Rothstein said she will make a ruling as soon as possible on whether Amazon Web Services will have to at least temporarily restore Parler to its servers. Amazon banned Parler, effectively shutting it down, in response to allegations Parler members used the site to organize last week's attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Amazon is the largest cloud storage vendor in the world.
Parler chief executive John Mates told Fox Business,
"They gave us basically, they said, you have 24 hours to find new servers."
The Seattle Times reports an Amazon attorney defended the decision, telling Judge Rothstein, "The events of January 6th changed the way we think about the world." Rothstein says she will at least consider a preliminary injunction prohibiting Amazon from continuing to deny service to Parler. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Vancouver Congressmember Jamie Herrera Butler is facing backlash from her vote to impeach President Trump. The five-term Republican said on the House floor she was not afraid of the political consequences.
"My vote to impeach our sitting president is not a fear-based decision. I am not choosing a side. I'm choosing truth. It's the only way to defeat fear."
In a letter to Herrera Butler, a group called the Clark County Republican Women says they will, quote, "do everything in our power to elect a conservative candidate who represents our values." Airlines are stepping up security on flights to and from the nation's capital amid new threats of mob violence. Como's Joel Marino spoke to passengers at SeaTac Airport.
"Passengers will get extra scrutiny if they're headed to Washington, D.C. With the inauguration looming and protesters expected from around the nation, airlines are adopting temporary new rules.
I don't think you can be too cautious given everything that's going on.
Several airlines won't allow firearms inside checked baggage for the next week for flights headed to the nation's capital.
I'm all about Second Amendment rights.
Masks are already required to fly commercially, but after a rowdy group of passengers refused to wear them on a flight back from D.C., Alaska Airlines is doubling down. Extra flight attendants are being added to support compliance. Limits are being placed on ticket sales to and from the D.C. area. Passengers must stay in their seats for 1 hour from takeoff or landing near the U.S. Capitol, and pilots will be ready to divert to the nearest airport over disruptive behavior."
Most of these security changes will expire a few days after the inauguration. King County is seeing a record surge in deadly drug overdoses.
Between December 27th and January 9th, the county medical examiner identified 42 suspected or confirmed overdose deaths. That is the biggest number of overdoses in a two-week period ever in King County, and double the average weekly overdose deaths for most of 2020. The recent surge comes after a dip in overdose deaths during the fall.
That's Como's Kelly Koopmans in Multnomah County, Oregon, a rescue mission, now a recovery effort.
Authorities now fear the worst, believing that 50-year-old Jennifer Camus Moore died in Wednesday's landslide near Dotson, which is just east of Portland. She had just been on a date with her husband. Both were driving in separate cars when that hit. That debris flow swept her car away, and the sheriff's office says her car is buried underneath 15 feet of mud and debris. Search teams now are using rafts and metal poles to locate Moore. They are not sure if and when they can get to the car because more rain is now in the forecast.
Como's Ryan Yamamoto, Como News Time 910. And the Seahawks could soon have a new offensive coordinator. More from Como's Eric Heitz at the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk.
The Seahawks continue to look for next year's offensive coordinator. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport says sources tell him former Charger head coach Anthony Lynn has spoken to Pete Carroll about the open job. Lynn says he's not decided what he wants to do next season. Meanwhile, quarterback Russell Wilson says he was not in favor of Brian Schottenheimer's dismissal, as there were plenty of positives in the 2020 season, but they just didn't get the job done against the Rams in the playoffs.
If I ask myself what went wrong, I think that we didn't win that last game. You know, I think as much as you could say what went right, what went wrong, I mean, you have to be able to win when you get to those moments, and you have to be able to find a way to overcome.
He expects to have input with Coach Carroll on which direction they go with that position. Seahawks VP Scott Fitterer is now the new general manager of the Carolina Panthers. He spent the last 19 years in Seattle. Corey Kispert scored 23 points and had 8 rebounds as top-ranked and undefeated Gonzaga beat Pepperdine 95-70. Gonzaga has also won 46 straight home games, the longest streak in the nation. The Huskies lost to USC last night 95-68. The Dogs play Pac-12 leader UCLA tomorrow. The Bruins beat the Cougars yesterday, 91-61. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Heintz, Como News.
We're now hearing from some of the police officers who tried to defend the U.S. Capitol during last week's siege. And ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz has more.
Thought, you know, this might be it. I might die.
And he very easily could have died.
That was the one that was crushed in the door.
Officer Daniel Hodges, 32 years old, talking about this moment, his gas mask ripped off, crushed in a doorway by a riotous mob.
I got pinned through the small back and forth we had, fighting for, you know, every inch. There's nothing I can do to defend myself at this point, so I just started screaming top of my lungs for them to give me a way out, give me a line of retreat.
Hodges, one of three D.C. Metropolitan police officers who raced to the Capitol, sharing their terrifying experience with our affiliate WJLA.
They have a heroic story.
Officer Christina Laurie arriving on the scene to chaos, saying she was hit with mace used on bears.
It's not only painful, but you literally can't open your eyes. And when you can't open your eyes and you're in the middle of what we would call a fight.
The officers were protecting the West Terrace doors, which had not yet been breached, facing thousands of rioters pushing forward, shouting USA, USA. Officer Michael Fanon, a father of four, shouting, "We got to get these doors shut," according to the Washington Post. But eventually, Officer Fanon was grabbed by the crowd. He said, "We're shouting, we got one, we got one," as they dragged him away from the doors, rioters beating and tasing him as he pled with them, telling them he had kids.
I remember guys chanting, like, kill him with his own gun, because guys were, like, grabbing gear off my vest, and they ripped my badge from me, and people were trying to grab my gun.
Fanon's partner eventually helping to free him and get him to safety, but he suffered a mild heart attack and spent 2 days hospitalized. One of the nearly 60 D.C. police officers who were injured in the siege.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. One man arrested for protesting in the violent riots last week thinks he should be pardoned because he was following President Trump's instructions.
Jacob Chansley, who also goes by the name Jake Angeli, was seen in photos during the protest wearing a headdress with horns and standing at the Senate dais. His attorney, Albert Watkins from St. Louis, says Chansley felt like his voice was being heard when President Trump invited followers to march to the Capitol. In a statement to the media, Watkins says Chansley, also known among Trump supporters as the Q shaman, did not take part in the violence and believes the president should pardon him. Chansley's now eating after prison officials in Arizona agreed to his demand for organic food that prompted him to start a hunger strike. Kent Martin, ABC News, St. Louis.
President-elect Biden's cabinet could start to take shape today as we have our first confirmation hearing set to get underway. ABC's Inez de la Cotera joins us next. Como News Time 914, traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours. And from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, here's Kiara Jordan once again.
Well, in Seattle, we're absolutely crawling right now, trying to travel westbound on Spokane Street between I-5 and 99. We have this major lineup of semis that are trying to make their way onto Harbor Island. So that's the cause for all of the delay. This is also affecting northbound I-5 as you're approaching the West Seattle Bridge. You're backing up there. We also have brake lights north 5 from I-90 to the Convention Center. We have an opening of the First Avenue South Bridge, so both directions at 99 are getting backed up there. Off and on slowing still remains on northbound 167 coming out of Sumner, making your way into Pacific. And we also have off and on slowing northbound 405 between State Route 169 and Northeast 44th. Our next Como traffic out, 924.
And we're looking at a forecast. It's really not bad. A few morning showers lingering and then partly sunny this afternoon, a high of 50. Clouds tomorrow, but generally dry with a high in the upper 40s. A chance of rain comes back Sunday, a high of about 50, and a mostly cloudy Monday kicks off your week next week. And then some increasing rain as we head into Tuesday. Currently, 47 and cloudy in Everett. Clouds at 46 at Tacoma and SeaTac Airport, 49 under cloudy skies at 916.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Here are stories we're following with Taylor Van Sice and Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Hutler. The Justice Department's Inspector General opening a probe into the DOJ's response to the Capitol riot last week. That review will look into whether the department and other federal law enforcement agencies shared information with U.S. Capitol Police and other state and local agencies. An Arkansas man faces charges for allegedly beating a Capitol Police officer with a flagpole during that riot. The FBI arresting 41-year-old Peter Francis Stager yesterday and charged him with obstructing, impeding, or interfering with a law enforcement officer. Como News Time now, 9:17. The Senate Intelligence Committee set to hold the first confirmation hearing for President-elect Biden's administration, with Biden's pick for Director of National Intelligence, Haynes, set to appear before that committee. With more on the confirmation hearings, I'm joined by ABC's Inez de la Cotera in Washington. Inez, if confirmed, this move would make some history.
That's right. She would be the first woman to become Director of National Intelligence. And she was supposed to be the first kind of cabinet pick going through this confirmation process. She had a hearing scheduled for today. That hearing was supposed to be held virtually, but at the 11th hour, you know, like literally at 11 p.m. last night, Eastern time, we got a statement from the Senate Intelligence Committee chairs, Marco Rubio and Mark Warner, saying that they were postponing her hearing. They didn't really say why. They didn't say when it was being rescheduled to. I think there's some speculation that it's because lawmakers would rather have her come before the committee in person rather than, you know, having a virtual hearing. We saw that kind of part of it, that argument play out during the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. You'll remember there were many on the left arguing that her hearings needed to be held in person because this was way too important a position to be confirmed virtually. So I think that might be some of what we're seeing play out on Capitol Hill as well, with those on the right now saying they want these confirmation hearings to be held in person. So we'll keep an eye on that and on the date. We should point out that on Tuesday, four more members of Biden's cabinet will begin their confirmation processes. So we're looking at Tony Blinken for Secretary of State, Janet Yellen for Treasury Secretary, Lloyd Austin for Defense Secretary, and Alejandro Mayorkas for Homeland Security Secretary. So, you know, I think there's also some speculation there that Avril Haines might be added on to that day.
All this goes on inside. Meanwhile, outside, against the backdrop of an unprecedented security presence in the nation's capital in anticipation of what could be very, very troublesome times next week for the inauguration. What is the scene around there right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's really something. I've been here 5 years now. I've never seen anything like it. D.C. is effectively on lockdown. I mean, the whole Capitol area has been shut down. The White House has been shut down. The National Mall, the National Park Service just announced the National Mall was now shutting down through January 21 to ensure a smooth and secure inauguration. There are, interestingly, going to be demonstration areas. So the National Park Service has designated the U.S. Navy Memorial and John Marshall Park as designated demonstration areas, protesters would need to have permits. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who actually comes out, what kind of groups come out. That is, of course, the big concern here. There could be a repeat of what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. But, you know, we've all seen those images of the National Guardsmen at the Capitol patrolling the halls, you know, standing outside. It's really something. They're really taking all the steps necessary to ensure that everything runs smoothly.
All right. We shall see what happens. And hopefully things come up without a hitch. It doesn't seem like a great bet right now. Thanks, Inez. Have a great weekend. ABC's Inez Delicatera in Washington. Como News Time 920, checking your money news at 20 and 50 past each hour in the Propel Insurance Business Update now.
Consumers cut back on retail spending during the December peak of the holiday season as the country confronted a surge in coronavirus infections. The 0.7% month-over-month drop marked the third straight decline in the measure of spending at stores, vehicle dealerships, restaurants, and online. After a stretch of growth last spring and summer, spending declined in a number of key categories, including online purchases, bars and restaurants, electronics, groceries, and department stores. It's hard to leave your house these days without crossing paths with one of COVID-19's more appealing legacies, the lockdown puppy. Signs that pet ownership increased during the pandemic are positive for stocks like Chewy. Nestle's pet care division was its top performer over the 9 months through September, growing sales 10.6% compared with the same period a year ago. That's your money now.
Struggles on Wall Street to end the week. Right now, the Dow's down 134 points to 30,857. The Nasdaq is off 75 points to 13,037, and the S&P 500 drops 22 points to 3773. That's your Propel Insurance Business Update. Como News Time 921.
Information is power. Everything you need to know before you get to work. The Como Morning News with Greg Hirschold and Manda Factor on Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and ComoNews.com.